of the Book of John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When they had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. In a case of death, a time of death, a doctor can explain it to one. The nurses can explain it to one. The coroner can. And we can to an extent. We have experienced with loved ones their deaths. Jesus then presents what he knows about death. What he says about death. He knows his own. He says in John 2, 19 through 22, that destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He spoke of his body, of his death and resurrection. In John 18 and 4, when 500 soldiers come to arrest him with swords and lanterns, that it says that Jesus knew all things that should come upon him. He knew everything that was going to happen to him. In John 12, 32, he says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying the way that he should die. He's going to be lifted up on the cross. In John 10 and 15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Just the fact that he said, I lay down voluntarily, without resistance, without reservation, hesitation, without murmuring, without attempt to escape. Matthew 16:21, he said, I must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things. And name the people he'd suffer these by. And he said, and be killed. He knew exactly about death of himself. I don't know about death. I know that I shall die. But as I've watched others die, and most recently my wife, my grandson, and two of my brothers and my sister-in-law within the last 4 years, holding their hands, so forth, and I would wonder what is going on in their mind. What are they thinking? Jesus knows about man's death. In Hebrews 9:27, he said, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. He appointed the time, the place, the manner of their death. In the book of Job, in the 14th chapter of the book of Job, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He is born with an abundance of deplorable depravity and despisement toward God. Doesn't even realize it till he's reminded by the preacher of his depraved condition. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down in the very prime of life. My friend Donnie, a paratrooper at the age of 23. My friend Chris at the age of 19. My friend Kay at the age of 15. My sister Patricia at 18 months. My brother Orville Matthew at a younger, very young age, less than one. All dying when they were just but a blooming flower. Just beautiful young people, children. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not, elderly. As I watch my two older brothers, my older sister in the last few years pass, just slowly it seems to fade away. In verse 5, his days are determined, right down to days. His months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, but it cannot pass. The best of doctors cannot prevent that appointed time of death. Bless their hearts, and I count them as God's mercenaries, they and the nurses. We pray for them. They do their best to save our lives, but our boundaries are appointed, the time of our life that we cannot pass. One shall die at God's ordained time because it's appointed unto man once to die. He'll not die before that nor after that. He'll live unto that. Christ knows about his death. He knows about our loved one's death. As I said, I've looked in their loving eyes with my loving eyes for them. And I've tried to imagine my 34-year-old grandson, my oldest son. I try to imagine, what are they thinking? What is going on? My grandson, his last breath, said, "I'm okay, Grandpa, I'm okay." Jesus gives us what he says, what he, not all that he knows, but what he says, what he wants us to know about death. In Luke, the 16th chapter, in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Oh, what a beautiful day. What a fine day it is. The sun is shining on me. I am so blessed. Except he would say, I am so fortunate or lucky. In the last portion of verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. Now Jesus is going to tell us then what happens. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, plural. I just wonder what kind of torments, what all is hurting. Sometimes our joints hurt. Sometimes our muscles hurt. Sometimes our head hurts. He is in torments. In verse 24, and he cried, "Groan, man, who yesterday fared sumptuously, now cries." And of a sudden he says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Have you ever been so sick, laying in the hospital, whereas you cried out in pain for mercy? I have 42 days in the hospital, crying out in pain, thinking I'm going to die, sometimes even thinking it'd be better. Have mercy on me. What does he cry for? He says, "I just want a tip of a finger with water to cool my tongue. I've never asked for such a small comforter as that." He doesn't ask for much. But what he does ask for, humanly, it's very possible. Medically, it's very possible. He said, "Just have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water." Said he's not doing anything. He's comforted in Abraham's bosom. "Just cool my tongue, never mind the rest of my torments, my body, just my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. I don't just hurt, but I am tormented." He has no mercy. Jesus tells us what death is like for the unbeliever. He says it's a place that is eternal punishment. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, when he gathers the nations and he puts the goats, the unbelievers, on his left, and his sheep, the believers, on his right. He says in verse 42, "I shall cast them into a furnace of fire." Think of the helplessness of being cast into anything that is undesirable. My brothers taught me to swim in the creek in West Virginia. We dammed it up, chased the snakes away. And how they taught me was they cast me from a rock and laughed and said, "Swim, swim." What a frightful thing for a 10-year-old, for me. Shall cast them helplessly, hopelessly, as if they are but a feather, into a furnace of fire. The three Hebrews and Daniel was cast into a fire. And the fire was so consuming that it consumed the people all around that cast them in. But this is God's fire. That was man's fire. And in this furnace of fire, you'll hear wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we think of our loved ones that live now and those that have died without Christ. As an unbeliever in Christ, they may have laughed and may have mocked about hell. As the good brother said, that they think that my friends will be there. Well, their teeth will be gnashing together, grinding together. They'll be crying out, "Have mercy, have mercy." In verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." This is a God that blessed. This is a Christ, Jesus, that blesses people. But here it says, "Cursed ye." You're cursed into everlasting fire. You will not be consumed. Because Revelation says their smoke ascended up forever and ever. Cursed into everlasting fire. Equal to what is prepared for the devil and his angels. Some people are, as myself was, as vile, as mean as the devil. Some people that are yet that way. And Jesus said in John 8:21-23, he said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And the wages of sin is lifting up your eyes in hell." Jesus says in the book of John that the wrath of God abideth upon him. When the wrath of God came upon Korah and his 250 in Numbers 16, the ground opened up, it swallowed them up, and fire from God came down to consume them. That's the wrath of God. When the wrath of God during the days of Noah come, that this water was 22 and a half feet or so higher than the highest peak. Do you think what those people suffered? That was not hell. This is hell with God's wrath administered from above. and fire's coming up from beneath. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. It says God is angry with the wicked every day. And Isaiah 59 and 2 says, but our iniquities, our selfish, unrighteous sins have separated between us and God. I don't want ever and never wanted anything ever to separate me from my earthly father. And bless his heart, nothing did. I never want anything to separate me from my son that's now. And the remaining three brothers and sisters of our 15 siblings. Death has. But I can't imagine being separated from God, the only one that can apply mercy, can administer mercy to me in my most sorrowful time. Lifting up one's eyes in hell. And he said, just a drip of water on my tongue. Just a little relief. And it doesn't come. And then Jesus knows with encouraging love about the death of the believer. The rich man had a beggar at his table in Luke 16. He died also. And what a difference. He died and was comforted in the bosom of Abraham. Like the thief on the cross, 2 days shall live with me in paradise. Comforted. In death. That is the comfort we have when we see our beloveds that pass from this life into the next that are in Christ. The disciples said, he sleepeth. He sleepeth. He will do well. He sleepeth. But Jesus said, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. We as ministers know. And I trust we practice. That if one of our loved ones in our assemblies, or friends, or just about anybody, would call. I remember a doctor called me one time. He said, would you come and be with this lady? She's dying. And I hadn't seen her in 3 or 4 years. And I went immediately. It's a minister's heart. But they tell Jesus, your friend Lazarus, who you love, is sick. Jesus knew he was dead. And he delays 2 days. And not only that, he says, and I'm glad for your sake. I was not there to the intent that you might believe. Is their belief more important than his comfort to Lazarus? Martha and Mary said, if you had been here, he had not died. Jesus healed the sick. This just doesn't seem to go together. Dead and love. And he's glad. But he says, this sickness is not unto death. He says, this is not the intent, the purpose of it. He's this for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son of God. How can that be if someone he loves is dead? The sisters are weeping. They need Jesus. But he waits 2 days. The breath has gone from Lazarus. It could praise him. It says in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. In Psalm 116, it says in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. In verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I know that some people, as we get older, I have a lady in the church that has MS and she's continually going down. And she says, oh, I just want to go be with the Lord. And I'm ready. But I don't want to go. I enjoy preaching, doing what I do. I told someone just recently, I want to live to be at least 100. I don't think I will. But God knows when I shall. And shall not. But the death of a saint of God is precious in the sight of the Lord, because when he dies, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But it's all swallowed up in the death of Jesus Christ, who died in my place. Ecclesiastes 5 and 12, they shall rest from their labors. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, in verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven. Always good when you hear a voice from heaven. Saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Jesus said in John 8, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. But blessed are they that die in the Lord. Two different peoples. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present from the Lord. One of the greatest comforts of a child of God is to know that we're going to enter into the presence of the Lord. In John, the 5th chapter, and we see Jesus having arrived at the grave of Lazarus. But But in John, the fifth chapter, says this. In verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, a specific hour, God's time schedule, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Think of that. The dead knoweth nothing. You can go out to the cemetery and scream all you want. And I've known men to go out and sit by their wife's graves, take their chair and sit out there for hours, calling their wife's names. There's no answer. They don't hear. He says there's coming an hour in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. His voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, the saints of God. Only Jesus is able to raise the dead by talking to them. His voice is efficacious. It's in a book of Isaiah, says he spoke the world into existence. Now think of that for a second, of the power of his voice. He says to nothing, become water. And that which was nothing becomes something. Who talks to nothing? And it responds. How does he do that? He speaks, and the earth brings forth. An earth that was not, now is an earth. And he calls it the earth. He can say in a laughing manner, if you want to see my sovereignty, there's nothing there. And I call something from it. And whatever I call from it, it's going to come. He says he speaks to the snow in the book of Job, and the snow comes. And he speaks to the rain, and the rain comes. What a voice. In Mark, the fourth chapter, verse 34 through 36, a storm, the ship appears to be sinking. And what does he do? He pulls like Job. He's sleeping. Jonah, he's sleeping. And he said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Calmly, my master arises, looks out over the storm. Peace, be still. What do you think happened? The storm ceased. That's the power of his call. Peace, be still. And they marveled. What manner of man is this that even the wind obey his voice? So he can call that which is not, and it'll come forth as something that he has called it to be. One day all that are in the grave, that the dead knoweth nothing, they actually shall hear his voice and shall come forth unto eternal life. He will go to the grave of this man that he loves. And he'll say, Lazarus, come forth. And I wonder how many stood around and began to giggle, began to mock in their minds. I wonder if Lazarus, if Mary and Martha, what their thoughts were. He's been dead 4 days. He now stinketh. Come forth. and he that was dead came forth. That's an efficacious call. That's what an irresistible call is. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He hath quickened by his call. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He's called. And Lazarus is like the one is totally unable to respond, is not seeking, is without strength, lieth in a cave, and he can't come out. Roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. You talk about a particular, efficacious call. Irresistible call. Lazarus couldn't resist. He had no will to resist. He had no will to come. He's dead. Body, mind, and soul. He's dead. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, but bless my Lord's heart. Oh, what a joy. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. In verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, but would not give the rich man, the unbeliever, one drop of water, but he's rich. In Isaiah 40 and 12, he hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins like Lazarus, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Lazarus is an example of that. Dead in the grave. He did not hear because he wanted to hear. He did not hear because he was capable of hearing. He heard because of an omnipotent call that said, Lazarus, come forth. And I can't believe this. Lazarus came forth. My. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. How can that be? All that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. So if they, who are completely physically, body, mind, and soul, dead, hear his voice and are drawn by that, they're quickened and they come forth. And he quickens them, makes them alive to come forth. Because when they were yet without strength, Christ quickeneth them. When they were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, oh, the grace of God. The mercy of God. The kindness of God. Ye are saved. That phrases together made us sit together in heavenly places. This is absolutely contrary to what I had planned for my life. I had planned to be a coach. or a lawyer. That was my intent growing up. I despised church. My father was a preacher. I despised Christians. My father was an embarrassment to me when he preached, because he preached loud and emotional. And I thought, oh boy, make me go to church when I was a little kid and tell me to bring my friends. I wasn't going to do that. And then the 60s, my God called me. Called me. And 3 months later, I'm on the street corner in Kalamazoo preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How? How does that happen? What an effectual, what an irresistible call. I told my father, I said, I don't want this. On the day that the Lord saved me that afternoon, I said, I don't want this. I said, the Lord's trying to save me or something, Dad. I don't want that. I said, my life's marked out. And he said, son, he gave me words of comfort that comforted him, not me. He said, the Lord's trying to save you. He will save you. I got angry and walked out my father's house. And that night, 6 o'clock or so, by the kids' swing set, I called upon my Lord, the same Lord I'd blasphemed a few days before, cursed and used his name in vain. I didn't realize what all had happened. But this is a call. Lazarus, come forth. That day Jesus was glorified because his disciples' faith was strengthened. He says to Martha, believest thou this? She says, I believe, Lord. Many believed on him. That name, that day, a Jewish high priest, Caiaphas, began to preach. And here's what he said in the book of John. In the 11th chapter, verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all to these Jewish people when they were trying to evaluate what happened here, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perisheth not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. They already hated the name of Jesus. They hated Jesus. They've tried to stone Jesus. They said he is mad, he has a devil. And their own priest says, Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but for that also. For that also he should gather together in one. That's us, the children, us Gentiles of God that were scattered abroad. He preached Christ, a Jewish priest. The depravity of man is relentless. It'll never be taken away by the psychiatrist, by legislation, nor by judges sentencing them, but only by the grace of God. I know. From that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Why? What evil hath he done? Why? Because that's the nature of man. In verse 57, now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it that they might take him. What is your opinion of Jesus Christ? Will you cry out for mercy now? Or if you're able, cry out for mercy in hell. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the mouth confession made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then he says this, for whosoever, Jew or Gentile, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And this promise is unto all that are far off, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. I can hear the Master's call. I heard it efficaciously, in particular for me, some 54 years ago. Richard, Saul, Ron, Jim, have you heard the Master's call? It's somewhere.